Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I pointed out to the folks over at Concordian Chapel this week that as we move farther into the Easter season, we stop hearing about appearances of the resurrected Lord, and we start hearing gospel readings that either call us to reflect on what Jesus' resurrection, his living presence with us, means for us now, or that call us to look forward to the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, as we begin to anticipate celebrating the great outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. And from that perspective, you might see that our gospel lesson this morning kind of does double duty, right? It points to the Spirit's work as the one who declares the things of Jesus to us. And it also reminds us that because Jesus is raised, never to die again, we have a joy that will never be taken from us. And it's that joy that I think we need to reflect on this year. For if there have ever been circumstances that would seem to have the power to rob us of joy, these last couple of years would be it. And we can be honest here. And whether we think of spiritual issues and struggles that we might have faced, or struggles in our personal lives with our family, struggles in our community, in our nation as a whole, struggles that take place globally, these last couple of years have been a tough go, even for optimistic folks. And that's without considering COVID. And there's health, there's age, people have moved, there's the general shape of the economy, crime and violence on the rise, injustice everywhere, racial and political strife, wars and losses, economic volatility. And we can go on with that list, right? There are many days when sane folks just want to pull the covers right back over their heads and stay in bed. There's not seem to be much in the way of hope out there, certainly not a lot of room for joy. Instead, we often find ourselves mired in anxiety, fear, anger, depression. And also, there's a unique spiritual malady that used to go by the old-fashioned name acedia. Sometimes it gets translated as sloth, but it's a condition of the heart when one gets to feeling that there's just no use to trying anymore, no use to making any effort, that it's all just kind of pointless. Now, of course, we recognize that's finally a matter of the sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve, but that doesn't make it any less real, doesn't make it any easier to address. Yes, we begin with repentance, we confess, we receive absolution. God forgives our anxiety, he forgives our hopelessness in Christ, but then what? How do we stand against all this trouble that seems to surround us? Well, the answer is simply by looking to Jesus. Jesus told the disciples the night before his death that he would see them again and that they would know a joy that nothing would ever be able to take from them. Seeing him changed everything. And that remains true for us. Now, some might protest here that, well, we don't get to see Jesus in quite the same way the apostles saw him during those 40 days after he left the tomb empty. And that's a fair enough observation. But remember, we do hear him in his word because he lives. He still speaks to us. And we do see him in holy baptism because he lives. He is present to give himself, his life, his grace, his spirit to all who are washed in those powerful waters in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do see him in the bread and wine of Holy Communion because he lives. He gives us his body to eat, his blood to drink with that bread and wine and seals us into his covenant, forgives our sin, and builds us up in faith and love. And we do see him here in this gathering of believers, for because he lives, the church is now his body. And wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of things. So yeah, we don't see him quite the same way that the apostles did, but we do see him because he lives. And that is what gives us joy. For remember, joy is not so much about, you know, exuberant laughter or smiles or light hearts or sparkling eyes. Joy is more about the certainty at the very core of your being that all will be well. And whence that certainty? From Christ's triumph over death and hell. Now, we try not to get too lured about what Jesus went through in those final hours on Friday, for that horror can actually distract from the power of what he did. Nevertheless, I want you to think of what he went through, right? He was abandoned by his friends. Then he was abused by the authorities, falsely accused and found guilty. He was beaten, scourged. He was mocked. People slapped him. They spit on him. And then they nailed him to the cross and left him to die. And on the cross, he was abandoned by the fathers, the just penalty of the one who took all the sins of the world onto himself. No one before or after has ever suffered like that. And as they laid his body in the tomb, no one imagined that there could ever be hope. How could someone come back from such a fate? Death, sin, and hell seemed triumphant that Friday. The Holy One, the innocent Lamb, was dead. What was the use of going on? If they could do that to the greenwood, what lay in store for dry twigs like us? And yet, God did not let his Holy One see corruption. He was not abandoned to the grave and death. As the Mighty One, full of life and innocence and righteousness, he rose after his Sabbath rest, never to die again. For with sin paid for, death no longer had dominion in this world. In Christ, alive after sin, death, and hell had done their worst, did everything in their power to destroy life and love and hope and faith. In Christ alive, we see that all shall be well. We have joy. And because he will never die, that joy can never be taken from us. And he is our assurance that all will be well, both for ourselves and for all creation. Let the tyrants rage. Let kingdoms totter. Let the corrupt and evil do what they will. Christ cannot be stopped. He will vindicate his own. He will raise the fallen. He will give life to the dead. He will give justice to the oppressed. He will give righteousness to sinners. All will be well. Now, right now, we find ourselves in the midst of sorrow and death, but joy comes in the morning with the dawn of Christ and the cry of his command. Because he is raised, he shall raise all those who now sleep in death and bring them to glory. All will be well. Let anxiety and fear and acedia go. For in Christ, all that you do, all that you say, does matter. It matters that you love. It matters that you forgive, that you show mercy, that you share peace, that you endure under hardship. It matters because he lives and you are his witnesses, and he gives you life eternal. The world may be a mess, but Christ lives and you are in him and he is in you. And so you are given joy and strength and resolve and courage to endure. He lives, he is with you, and the Spirit has revealed what is to come. Now, I joked over at Concordia that when the Spirit declares things that are to come, that's not going to include who will win the World Series this year. It doesn't include who's going to win the presidential race in 2024, and it doesn't include how many grandchildren you'll end up with. The Spirit declares what will come because of Christ's resurrection and his triumph over death and hell. And our reading from Revelation is a great example of this. Because Christ lives and is working all things together for the good, John, by the Spirit, was given to see the glorious day when the new heaven and new earth are brought forth, a day when sin and death are completely gone and God will dwell with his people for them to see with their own eyes and know. And all tears will be wiped away and gone. Because Christ lives, that day draws closer and closer, and nothing going on in our lives or in the world around us will ever change that. All will be well. Rejoice. And live with the resolute confidence that this vision brings to you. Because you know what's coming. You can live as light in the midst of darkness. You can love and serve knowing that your work in Christ is not in vain. Or consider what the Spirit inspired St. Paul to write, because Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. He wrote, "Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For this mortal nature must put on immortality, and this corruptible nature must put on incorruption. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Christ lives. And where he is, his people must also be. So rejoice. All will be well. No power in earth or hell can take that away, for it is sealed in Christ's blood and his victory. For Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.